This is Top Landing Gear. Hello and welcome to Top Landing Gear and our bonus full flaps edition from Dunsfold. In our previous episode, we were talking to Mike Woodley, who heads up aviation filming at Dunsfold in Surrey, and who owns amongst his fleet of aircraft three ex-British Airways Boeing 747s, all of which are now stars of the silver screen. So, after our hugely entertaining chat with Mike, we made our way out onto the apron to be dwarfed by those magnificent beasts ahead of our guided tour with Aviation Filming's Jamie Chalkley. We're just walking out of Mike's office, which is actually the control tower here at Dunsfold, because we're going to be given a guided tour around the 747s here. In fact, we're just now walking underneath the wing of the extraordinary 747-200 with those bizarre engines, which was used on which Bond film, was it, Roy?
I think it was World Is Not Enough. I think I was probably wrong now.
That's what we think. Yeah. But just walking underneath this thing, the size, it's just unbelievable, isn't it?
It's ridiculous being here because it's almost, you know, those jumbo jet graveyards they have in the desert.
In the Arizona desert.
It feels like... Yeah. Like that here, just wandering around. It's like the world's best museum, yeah. But we're the only people here.
It's absolutely fantastic. And just coming up now is the first of the recent BA 747s to come in, the one painted in Chatham Dockyard colours. Golf Charlie India Victor Whiskey, I think, CIVW.
A little HS125 in front of it.
It is an HS125. Well spotted, Royal. Though it's in RAF colours, so probably called a Domini. But it is the HS125, basically. Beautiful little aeroplane. Also used to be test flown out of here at Dunsfold as well.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And so they've... In these hangars... Would it have been these hangars where they developed the Harrier?
Yeah. As Mike said, the Harrier was actually built in Kingston, at the Hawker factory in Kingston. And then they were brought down here by road and assembled here at Dunsfold and test flown here at Dunsfold. We are now just walking underneath the Chatham Dockyard 747 and we're standing underneath one of the engines. I mean... Size is everything, isn't it, when you're in this environment?
Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing.
And the VC-10 just beyond. I'm just going to stop and take a picture.
Yeah.
If you wouldn't mind taking that. Thank you.
It's a beautiful sunny day as well here in Dunsfold. But some big fluffy clouds just over the airfield. And James is first up the steps. Look at him.
You know,
wants to be first in.
Yeah. Me. With the old dodgy knees. Right. We are now going to climb the stairs. In fact, we're coming through the door that you never as a passenger enter. I think this would usually just go into the galley for the catering. So up the steps onto this really quite recently retired British Airways 747-400. Looking just immaculate, actually.
Every time you take the power off, you put in a boot full of rudder. And I was just into this natural thing of that. And I was doing it on a 7.3 for landing. And my landings were appalling. Until I realised I was doing it, locked my feet, and everything got a lot better after that. So, yes.
It's a totally different picture out the window.
Yeah.
Jamie, would you mind if we recorded some of this chat? Thank you. So, Jamie, what's your name?
Jamie Chalkley.
Jamie, from Aviation Filming?
Yes, Aviation Filming.
And very kindly now going to give us a little tour of the 747-400.
Yeah, with my pleasure. Going to show you around this amazing, amazing aircraft.
So kind of you. Fire away. And don't let James distract you with any of his stories about how he can't fly.
Okay, we're going to watch. We're entering on door one right. So it's just behind the first class cabin of the galley and just forward of the business class section. The different aircraft have different configurations, mostly in terms of size of business class. Some have a large economy, smaller business. This particular one has a large business section, then quite a small economy. I say small economy section, it's still 180 seats, but it's at the very back of the aircraft and certainly feels like it's the smaller end of the plane. Forward cabin here, we've got the in the nose, and you can really... It's a bit dark because we've got the curtains, and they're electrically operated, so without the ground power unit, we keep the curtains down just to control the temperature a bit.
Okay.
You can really see the curve of the nose, and we're probably under the captain's feet at the moment if they were in their office. And that first one and two seat, you can see how much those seats curve around. If you're lucky enough to sit there, you can actually almost get a forward-facing window.
I was going to say, of course, I've never been up this far forward in an airliner. And yes, in the 747, as you say, because you're right up in the nose, underneath the flight deck, you're almost looking forwards from those windows.
You definitely have a forward aspect, on the view. It's quite remarkable, actually. And you can definitely feel it when it... When it rotates, the nose of the aircraft comes up. I mean, you're about, must be 30 or 40 feet off the ground with the back of the aircraft. They're still, at London, whereas the front have actually left.
Yes. I take it you have flown first class in the 747.
I have been lucky enough to sit in this seat next to me, so it's the back of the first class cabin.
Wow.
But it was a fantastic trip to Boston, yeah. Somebody upgraded me and I was very grateful.
Oh, how fantastic.
One of the best steaks I've had, actually.
Oh, I bet. I bet. And so... These 747s, this one and the one in the Landor colours, are all fully decked out as they would have been in service with British Airways.
Absolutely, yeah. In fact, I watched this one land. A friend of mine was flying it. I've checked the dates. I think it was October 2020.
Yeah.
And it arrived, and they've taken some of the... disabled some of the systems, like the slides and things like that, from a safety point of view. But otherwise, it's as it arrived, and it's just been pushed back into this parking position. So this is
everything fires up if you turn it all on.
The power unit, which we plug in, and then the aircraft goes into a ground mode in its first first electric step, if you like, and that powers up all the internal systems. The zone lighting works, so. It's quite funky here in the first class cabin because you can change the colours of the lights and you basically press breakfast mode and you get an internal sunrise. You press nighttime mode and you get this kind of sunset kind of feeling. It's really good. So they're all kind of pre-programmed on the switch panel that's by the door over there.
And so this is quite a new installation because that was the great thing about the 787 Dreamliner, wasn't it? That was the kind of great big bragging about the cabin experience in the 787 part of it was this coloured lights. But I didn't realise they'd actually had installed them in this.
I think they have, yeah. And some of more recent aircraft in the fleet, up until the point they retired them, had gone through some form of, interior upgrades in terms of seating and entertainment system especially, and zone lighting control and that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's remarkable, really.
How amazing. Gosh.
And then we've got, first cabin, galley area here, so you can see, the ovens and all the various parts of the aircraft, the coffee maker that... provides that nice cabin service that we hope to get. It's quite interesting walking around, actually. I came on with a friend of mine who was a 747 pilot who actually had flown this one. And he said, can I come up and have a look around? And I was like, you're not going to find it very interesting. He went, no, quite the opposite. He said, I never get a chance of a proper unencumbered look. You normally have been kind of chauffeured around and you get a few minutes here, but to actually spend 30, 40 minutes and absorb all the nooks and crannies, he really enjoyed, and it almost seemed like a bit of a novelty for him. Anyways, we go for the back, all the screens, this is the business class section. We've got one seat in the lay down position just to demonstrate what that looks like, but all the seats still operate in terms of the reclining position and the curtains, the dividers between the seats still operate. The entertainment system has been removed from service just because it's a massive load, it's an entirely different system, and you have to have the APU running and other upper modes of the electrical system to power those, which we don't do.
But otherwise, this, as a film set, it's 100% the real deal, isn't it?
It's amazingly immersive, actually. I've been on here a few times, and when the lights come on, the aircraft really feels like it comes to light. You can hear some of the electrical systems with these little whirring noises, and it really does feel like you're kind of mid-Atlantic. You expect to look out the window and see the southern tip of Greenland. And the funny thing is, actually, when the actors are dressed up as cabin crew, I found myself the other day, almost being caught up a bit too immersively, where I actually went up to the cabin crew and asked if I could leave via the front door. She said, I'm just an actress, I've never been on a plane before. So it's amazing what that authority of a uniform can present.
Oh, that's lovely.
This is the purser's office, I suppose you'd call it. So it's a slightly bigger galley. That reduced roof section there is because of the steps going up onto the upper deck.
Yeah.
And a little feature I like here is the lift, which takes food that's prepared in this area up to the upper deck. I believe it goes down into the hold as well. I haven't tried that.
James might know about this because he, on his aeroplane, the airliner he flies, there's a lot of sleeping. There's a lot of accommodation that needs accessing.
Well, you'll see that on this one, you'll see the bunk is part of the flight deck on this one, and the cabin crew are in the tail.
Oh, okay.
But ours is slightly different.
Does yours have a lift in it?
It doesn't have a lift. I remember the DC-10 used to have a lift. There was a
hang on.
On the DC-10, there was a galley underneath the main galley, so they'd prepare the food in the galley underneath and then bring it up in a lift into the main deck.
Right.
Yeah, he's correct. Yeah. And then moving further back, I mean, it gets a bit brighter in there with the curtains open. It starts to feel more like a plane again.
Junior doesn't feel as wide. Or maybe still at the... It doesn't feel as wide as it does when you normally get into it and it's full of people.
I think it's like when you go to a house. You know, if you're a house with no furniture in it, you think, how am I going to fit everything in?
Yes.
And then you start putting stuff in, and it just keeps disappearing into the corners.
Yeah.
So when we've got a film set and this is full of people, again, it's really immersive. You feel like, you know, you can feel there's up 50, 60, 80, 100 people. All of a sudden, everybody seems to just disappear and find a seat, and then the space seems to become more available. This is the premium economy section, which is quite small on this plane due to the enlarged business class section. And we're back again through another... galley section, and so we've got all the cabin service items. We've got the trolleys and all the various little bits and pieces. We've actually got all the coffee pots and everything, so when someone comes on to film, we can provide all of the props and the items to give it that, you know, onboard experience.
Hot coffee?
Cold coffee.
Oh, now this is what I recognise. Economy. Now it looks bigger.
Doesn't it just?
So there's 188 seats in this part of the aircraft. It doesn't look or feel like it as you walk in and it's empty, but again, when the people start sitting down in their rows, very quickly the numbers start increasing.
Yeah.
And then back towards, you can see the tail, the shape of the tail start to close in with the edges of the aircraft. Got a rear bank of toilets, and then we've got the upstairs seating, which we can go up to, but because there's no lights, it's sort of a phone torch.
Oh, right,
experience. Okay. Well, you're welcome to do that.
So this is for the cabin crew, is it? Yeah, I'd love to. Thank you.
I'll light the way. So we're going up into the tail above the economy and forward of the fin.
Now, this is where, as a passenger, you would never normally go. Unless invited by a member of the cabin crew, but I think we won't go there.
So we've got some resting seats. Over the far side, there's a toilet.
Goodness me.
There's a few...
Wow, it's quite tight up here, isn't it?
It is quite tight. There's a few mirrors around so they can get themselves looking presentable again before landing. And some of the different aircraft have slightly different configurations in this part. So the Landor aircraft got over there is configured slightly different inside this part. But as we come further back, we've actually got four bunks and a closet there.
Oh, wow.
And then we come back again and we've got another four bunks. One, two, three. Yeah, four bunks. Close-out curtains, mirrors...
Goodness me.
And this is where they can catch some rest on the cruise.
What's it like back here in flight? I mean, you wouldn't want to be claustrophobic, would you?
You would not, no.
Golly. It's quite tight. So how many crew could kip up here at the same time?
There's eight bunks.
Eight bunks.
Eight bunks, four seats and a toilet, so...
Good heavens. Wow. So...
Or a tour bus.
James, does this look at all familiar to your 777? You won't be able to hear you.
Slightly more spacious in the 777.
Than or in?
It is more spacious in the 777. It's not quite as tightly packed as this when they're on either side of the aircraft. So you've got two, and it spreads for a lot further into the aircraft.
Yeah.
Because there's no roof to worry about.
Goodness me.
Not many people get to see this. This is extraordinary.
No. And so we're right under the tail fin here, are we, Jamie, pretty much?
I've never exactly worked out where we are, but I think we are just forward of the where the fin meets the fuselage, is my guess.
Yeah.
But we may be slightly further off than that. I mean, obviously, further back, we've got some systems in the APU, so there's a reasonable amount of storage space for that.
Yeah.
Goodness.
I had no idea that this was up here.
Yeah, it's surprising, isn't it? Yeah. There's some other little nooks and crannies further forward, which I'll show you as well.
Oh, good. Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's commercially helicopters. Started on a fixed wing journey, but I went to the dark side.
Okay.
And I unfortunately couldn't run both careers in parallel, so I had to choose one. I went with helicopters due to a different opportunity. Yeah.
Right. Wow.
Which helicopters are you flying, Jamie?
Most of my time's in the Hughes 500, the MD-500, so the old Magnum PI helicopter.
Yes.
Have you ever done an interview whilst in a crouched position in the
I have not.
Crew area of
next to a bunk bed.
747.
Blimey.
First time for everything in this job.
Yeah.
There's another area I'd love to show you.
Oh, yes.
It's right back in the first class section, so it's a minute's walk almost.
Let's get
shows
back
you the scale of the aircraft.
That's interesting. A minute
quite
to get
Paul
from the
back here.
Well, more or less. Not exactly a minute, but.
Jamie, is there much you can do to look after the interiors? You know, we were just saying it smells a bit musty now. It's not quite got the jet fuel smell that we all are used to. There's nothing you can do about that. But
yeah, we do some environmental management. So we have an engineer that comes on and we kind of have a strategised ground maintenance kind of programme to look after the aircraft and keep it operational from a ground, you know, use point of view. But the temperature does change quite a bit, and I think that affects the, you know, humidity, and then that affects the aroma. So once a week, we ventilate, subject to no driving rain, we ventilate either all the doors, or we choose selective doors on an interwind side, and then we let the air move through the cabin, and then we vent it at the back on the opposite side. And there's a little hatch upstairs in the cockpit too, and if we open that, then the air does pass through the aircraft quite nicely. And after about 3 or 4 hours, it smells like spring again.
So is that an aviation filming protocol, or is that something you've derived from Boeing? You know, they say this is a recommendation for looking after a stored aircraft.
No, I think it's just good housekeeping. Yeah. You know, I think if you've got a team of people that care about the product, we're passionate about the type. It's not just are we using the type to share the opportunity for people to film on it, but we're actually all quite passionate about the legacy of the Boeing 747 as well. So for us, it's about preservation, and that includes housekeeping duties and the responsibility. You know, it's a bit like if you own an old house, you're more the keeper than the owner. So it's about preserving it for other people to enjoy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so that includes we get dehumidifiers in, try and control the temperature, try and control flow of air through, keep it clean, things like that. And we've got quite strict rules about when people do come aboard. You asked earlier on about hot coffee. The reason is we don't do hot drinks, so it's water only, so no food or beverages, unless otherwise by some, you know, additional consideration is put in place.
No milk.
Definitely no milk. Yeah. Yep.
That's that old bag I lost a couple of years ago. Yeah.
You're going BA. Yeah.
So we've got a few more minutes, but if you're interested in seeing, there's a secret compartment below the floor of the first class cabin, which goes down into, I think it's called the MEC hatch, which is basically where the avionics systems and boxes and wiring is, and gives you access also into the forward cargo area. So this area is just being prepared for filming at the moment. So this screen has been removed because it's a small screen is going to be put in that's going to have a different look to it. You know, they're going to print a different screen on it. But just here, just watch your step, because there's a hatch here, which I'm going to open up. It feels like a special forces kind of
entrance. It really does.
If you want to come down, you're welcome to.
Thank you.
It's narrow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, James.
See, it won't work with a backpack.
Yeah.
Don't pass me the mic.
So I'll go down first, just watch your back as you disappear into the hole. It's about 5 steps. That's actually in the belly of the aircraft.
So,
hatch.
Just explain where we are, Jamie. We've just come down some steps underneath the floor of first class.
We're underneath first class cabin, which has lots of avionics systems and various cables and circuit breakers for systems throughout the aircraft stored. And it also gives us access into the forward cargo area, which we can have a look at as well. Between us at the moment, so we've got a platform on the left and right side, and you can see we've got another ladder next to us. So in that hole in the floor, that hatch pops up from underneath and slides across out the way. And this ladder drops down, and we are then situated right behind the nose wheel. So the nose wheel is just there, and this is the entrance into the aircraft without external steps. So you can pop that hatch up, drop this ladder down and come up into the aircraft.
From the nose wheel bay?
From the nose wheel bay, yep. So the nose wheel bay is just here, wow, in front of us. And if you look down that little gap there, you'll see there's a little tray to... you can crawl along, basically, to access a few more parts of the systems that are in this area. And there's a whole bank of circuit breakers behind you, too.
Yeah, what was the film where they did come down here? I think it was Harrison Ford, although it's a
Air
lot
Force.
More spacious
yeah,
than this.
I think it was called Air Force One, I think it was called.
I think
called.
It might have been Air Force One, yeah, which is also a 747, of course.
It is, of course, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you can see there's looms and looms and looms of wiring. I mean, there's probably many hundreds of pounds of, in terms of weight, I mean,
yes,
of cabling that runs through the aircraft. There is lights in here as well, so again, when we get it powered up, yeah, and this has, you know, that sense of life to it again with the background noise and the lighting.
It all
feels a bit more like a plane again and less like a basement.
Yeah. And can you access the cargo bay from here?
We can, I'll show you. Yep, I'm going to have to manoeuvre around you, so this is slightly cosy. So I'm just going to move past you here, so just stick to the hard floor where it's panelled.
Oh yeah, of course, thank you.
Depending how long your lead is, you can come in. But, so this side part here, you really see the shape of the fuselage now, so this is a no-step area.
Yeah.
So just avoid that. And then here is the forward cargo area, which I believe is pressurised, hence having access through this area. And you can see we've got one of the storage containers in here on the rolling floor. So this has had some hard floor put down just to provide access that we have at the moment. And then further back, they've got the rollers, which means that any pallets that are put on there are able to move and slide around. So the loadmasters and the ground team can appropriately position them to optimise the space. And just to the left there, that's the main cargo door area, which operates. And there's another little door like this just the other side there too.
So could you access any of the baggage while you're down here? Because it's in containers, you can't actually get to it.
I'm not sure. I've only been in this area in this role.
In this role, of course, yes.
I've never thought it. I never thought I could get away with it in another way.
No, goodness me.
But it's amazing to have access to all this. And,
isn't it just?
You know, be able to crawl around, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, what a privilege to see all this.
Yeah.
Right, I'm just going to hand this back up to you. Do you want to come down and have a look?
I've been down there.
You've done that.
I've just come up.
Am I allowed to take a photo?
It's quite eerie being on an aircraft all by yourself. Definitely feels like I'm somewhere I shouldn't be. Rob has just handed me the microphone as he climbs up the steps from the compartment we were just hiding in, and Jez and James have disappeared. So it feels like I'm in my very own 747 and I shouldn't be here. Oh, yeah, there you are. I was just saying, I was wondering where you were. Everyone had just gone.
We went upstairs.
How do you get upstairs?
Upstairs.
Oh, right. Up the stairs. They've thought of everything. They really have.
Yeah. Hold on, stay there. I'm going to take a picture of you.
Jamie coming out of the hatch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another day at the office.
Where have you two been?
We've just been...
Gift shop.
Yeah.
This actually has a different floor cover. This is the maintenance floor cover.
So oh, okay.
If you go flying, there's a different floor which has a locking kind of handle that secures it firmly down. It's flush with the floor. The mat goes over it, and no one would.
You wouldn't want a stiletto down there.
You would not, no. So this is we keep that from a maintenance point of view, so we can quickly get it out. Lander, actually, the other one has the more permanent fixing it. And that's it.
Have we got time to go upstairs?
Yeah. I suddenly feel like I'm on a cruise ship because you just don't associate stairs with an aeroplane.
No, don't
other
you?
Other than the outside.
Exactly. Here we are going up the steps on the 747 now.
Yeah. If you go
into the upper deck.
Personally, this I think is the best place to travel because it's like a mini Boeing private jet because you've got about 20 or 30 seats, at least a couple of cabin crew. You've got two toilets and your own kitchen. It's really, really good.
Wow. Yeah.
This is the way to do it. This is the way to do it. Yeah. It just feels more like a little private jet. You know,
it does, yes, because you're right up in the roof space. Now.
It does.
And we're heading towards the flight deck door, in fact.
Yep. So we go through the flight deck door. Crew have got their own toilet. And, as I think James said earlier on, their own
sleeping quarters. It's a bit, there's a bit of a clean in there, actually.
Yeah.
For the cruise pilots, I guess, or for the other pilots. We've got a hatch up here, which opens up, and this is the emergency. It'd be interesting to see if you have this on the 777, actually. Yeah. So this is the emergency exit if you can't get back and downstairs. Yeah. Not something you often say on a plane. So to vacate the aircraft in the event of the inability to move further back to the doors, you go out there, you grab these handles up here. I'll just show you when you've...
Sorry.
That's all right, I've got to get up there. You grab these, and these are the right length and are calibrated to the weight of the... whatever they work out as being the average pilot. You jump out the side, and with the weight on the handle holding onto it, it naturally breaks and slows down, so you gently arrive at the floor.
Two for you, James.
Well, funny you say that, but there was a story.
There
was a story where someone went out. I don't know how true this is, a bit of an urban myth maybe, but they went out and they thought it's much easier to hold two than one, but of course the weight was different, so it didn't break. It didn't slow down. So you do have to do that right. Anyway,
I know some German pilots who wouldn't have got out.
I've had no training. That's a story that's been passed to me. So anyway, but otherwise, this is the flight deck. And it's I find remarkable, actually, sitting up here, if you get a sense of scale. I mean, there's a VC-10 in front, and we're looking clearly over the top of it. And if you look out and find a car down there, I mean, it feels like we're on the top floor of an NCP car park.
Yeah.
So the sense of scale operating this is, I think, remarkable.
And they had to, in the early days of the development of the 747, they developed a set of steps, didn't they, called the Waddell steps, because I think it was Waddell who was one of the test pilots, so that pilots could get used to taxiing from this great height, because no one was used to sitting up.
We did the 747 episode, and they had a pickup truck with scaffolding on it.
That's right.
And they would give commands from up high to the pickup driver, I think that's what I'm saying, to see how accurate they could be to replicate that height. Yeah, the Waddell steps, absolutely right.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And it's amazing. I think the other thing that...
dated.
The other thing that probably would surprise many people is such a vast aircraft, and yet the flight deck actually isn't that vast, is it?
It's not, no. Again, I don't operate this type of aircraft, so it's a good question for James, but people tell me that once you get up here and you kind of close that door,
The flight deck is slightly smaller than the triple flight deck, although but it's got more room behind. And obviously, this is the ensuite fleet with the loo, but it is slightly smaller, but similar. But it's amazing how, coming from the triple, how dated this does look. The MCP, the panel at the top, is all digital on our aircraft, and that's still
very analog.
Now, what's the nose wheel steering?
On the side.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the little wheel lever down?
The rudder pedals backwards.
Oh, that's in the rudder pedal adjustment.
Because some people, like my legs, only go down, and you just touch the floor when I'm standing up.
Ah, super. Gosh, to think, I wonder what it was like bringing this thing in to here, to Dunsfold, back in 2020, sitting up here. For its last ever landing.
He brought it in.
I did. He's actually my neighbour.
No way.
No.
Yeah, he's up the end of, well, not immediately next to me, but literally up the end of my street. Like,
where do you live?
Just south of Horsham, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Local, yeah. And I didn't notice him, though. Mike invited me to come up and have a look, which I took,
Oh, is this one he brought in, was it?
Yeah. So I thought that was a great opportunity just to go and stand next to the runway and see this massive aircraft fly past and land. And, they put the steps up, and about half an hour later, people walking around, and I saw this lady I recognised, and it was my friend's wife. And I said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "Oh, Mark's flying the plane." "You've got to be kidding." And they said, no, come forward. And there was some press there, she pulled me to the side, and because she was his wife, she kind of got ushered to the front, and I floated along with her and got
amazing
on board before everybody
amazing
else.
Amazing.
Came up and met Mark on the flight deck. So.
This is the first one to come in, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because we were here for the second one.
We were here for the second
landing.
For the landing.
And I stood at the end of the runway with about 300 other people out on the 281 with my video camera, watching this one come in. Because this did the
it did the
go around, didn't it?
It did, yeah.
Yeah, very impressive.
Yeah, it's an amazing sight, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just stunning. Traffic stopped everywhere. People couldn't work out what I was looking at until they suddenly saw this 747 going overhead in their cars.
Yeah, it's just one of those aircraft, isn't it? Mm. You know, there are different
aircraft, which are iconic, and it stops you in your tracks, no matter whether you're an aviation person or not.
Yeah.
Concorde, Jumbo, Spitfire, Harrier.
Yeah.
All these aircraft, they're like top trump cards.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. It absolutely is. You're absolutely right.
Well, thank you so much for taking us around.
Mm, pretty kind of you.
No worries. Been...
Oh, Jamie, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jamie. It's very kind.
Can we just stay here and play for the
hour? Actually, I love coming on board.
It's a little bit weird when you're just by yourself, though, isn't it?
Honestly, at night, it's a bit creepy.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But during the day, no, it's fantastic. It's great. Yeah. And it's one of those things, actually, people come on board like yourselves today, and it doesn't really matter what kind of background they've got. They're all enthusiastic, and they're all a little bit like in the theme park.
Yeah.
You can't help but kind of get caught
you
up in the excitement.
Be impressed by just the size of it.
And that's infectious, so I end up feeling it again, you know, through other people. So.
Oh, Mike, you're on board.
Yeah, we're just on the way out.
He's like, get off my plane.
You're training a lead, Roy.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Well, over my...
Allocate. There used to be spiral staircases on the first and seventh.
Well, we did eventually disembark, but our huge thanks go to Jamie and to Mike of Aviation Filming for giving us such a treat that day at Dunsfold. If you haven't yet heard our interview with Mike Woodley, then do listen. It's there waiting for you now. And if you'd like to listen to any or all of our podcasts so far, you'll find them on our website, toplandinggear.com, or wherever you normally get your podcasts. And please do subscribe. It's completely free. And let us know anything or anyone you'd like us to feature, and we'll try and make it happen. We'll be back soon with James's Reno Air Races special, and you can get in touch with us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Top Landing Gear, and do email us with your questions for our expert James at info@toplandinggear.com. That's info@toplandinggear.com, two G's, and do check out the socials for news of future episodes. In the meantime, thanks for listening, and bye for now.